Oh, yo, what's up? This is Leo G.
And yo, this is Adjective J. And hey, Leo, are you urban?
Yeah, I'm urban, man.
Yeah, okay. So like, I know you know we got the show, and people are telling me I'm not really urban. Like, can I still be on the show?
Yeah, you could be on the show. You could be down, man.
Okay, so I could be urban too, right?
No doubt.
All right, so this is the Urban Sports Report with Adjective J and
Leo G. Let's get it started.
Down your beer and snatch up your cheering. A lot of up street clearing. First of then the siren you'll be hearing. Your man got a few heartbeat left, stay fearing. It's me or you or them or us. Bust the what the things gon' bust. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. I clear the land and God we trust. Blaze of glory, the blaze of glory. You coming here for me? The blaze of glory, the blaze of glory, the blaze of glory. You coming here for me? It's the blaze of glory.
Ugh. You're cruising, who you're choosing? Critics and news and all their reviews. The watch jeweled in, VS Jews with different hues of rouges and blues. The street movement that I move with hurries the cane like.
And we're back. Are we back this time?
I think we're back. This counts as being back, right?
Well, it's been a long time.
We shouldn't have left you.
I know, right?
Dope beat to. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, you know what it is.
It is the infamous Urban Sports Report, and we're back, man. I've had a lot go on since the last show. I don't know. Yeah. I might sound different. I had some stuff going on, man. I had some nasal surgery because my nose was all jacked up. You know, I had that Michael Jackson surgery done. And
actually, you know what? Honestly, I think like once the rest of the people in our family sees it, the rest of us are probably gonna have that same surgery. Because I mean, like your nose looks good. Like I it's amazing.
Completely like, awesome. And I can breathe, man. I can breathe. Like it's like a wind tunnel now. It's just it's completely awesome. But it is what it is. It is the Urban Sports Report. I am Leo G with my co-host as always.
Oh, I'm Adjective J. Sorry, I was drinking water.
Drinking water.
Yeah.
He does. And we're back. It's been a long time, but hey, we're finna try to give you a show, a good show, because that's what we try to do. And hopefully we can get this down to where we can do it at least, I don't know, bi-weekly, monthly, something. I don't know. It's the frequency is just not there, but we're trying our best, people.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on. And a lot of stuff going on in the world of sports right now that we're going to talk about because, I mean, that's what we do. We talk about sports and we talk about other stuff too, but sports is mainly what we do on this show. So, first and foremost, we want to hand out the business so people, fans of the show, if you're listening, you can contact us. You can hit us up at theurbansportsreport@gmail.com. That's the email address if you want to get on the show, if you got any issues with the show, if you just want to talk to me or Adjective J got a lot of fans, so he might get a lot of fan mail. So
excuse me, what? I got fans? Nah, son, I have no fans that I know of. I wish someone would show up since I have them.
Man, hey, from what I hear in the Twitter streets, man, you got a lot of fans out there in them Twitter.
Nah, man, that's lies.
It's all lies. It's propaganda.
Complete lies, man. Yes, propaganda and lies.
Speaking of Twitter, you can contact us. You can follow us on Twitter or contact us on Twitter. We don't care. Follow us. Follow me. I'm at Southern Set on Twitter.
I'm at Adjective_J. That's adjective as in the word and underscore and J. And, of course, the underscore stands for infinity.
Infinity today.
Not infinity, like the concept of infinity. I mean the car, because I want one. I want an infinity. So
that's what you're trying to cop. I feel you.
Yeah, it stands for hopes and dreams. Then we'll go for that.
I got you. Okay, hey, well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about what's been going on. And first and foremost, if you didn't know today.
Well, tell them what today is so they know.
Today is Sunday.
Okay. there's a lot of Sundays in a year, dog.
Today is Sunday, June the 10th. How about that?
There we go. That's today, y'all know where we are.
Today is Sunday, June the 10th. So we're going to bring a lot of stuff happened yesterday on Saturday, June the 9th that we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about stuff that happened before then too. But anyway, we're going to get something that's fresh on our minds that we definitely want to talk about. That was a big fight last night, Adjective J. I don't know if you knew this or not, but it was a big fight.
Yeah, it was finally Pacquiao and Mayweather going at it, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
so that's the only fight in boxing I can see
big. No. This was
you know, actually it was a pretty, it was billed as a decent fight. I mean, you had a young fighter coming in with a undefeated record, 28-0, Timothy Bradley versus Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, and it went down last night. And we got a lot to talk about this fight, Adjective J. This was a fight that, I mean, I don't know. Everybody's waiting for this super fight, Pacquiao versus Mayweather. And yep. I guess, you know, Pacquiao, he's still trying to get it in. He's not retired yet. Bradley is an up-and-coming kid that really wanted to put a signature win on his resume. And, you know, if he could beat Pacquiao, you know, he could really be on his way, I guess, as one of those elite boxers.
Yeah, people would be talking about him. That's what he was going for. He was trying to get a little bit of buzz. And you have to think for him, even if he didn't beat Pacquiao, he was thinking like, hey, if I put up a good fight, I come out here and I really work. People will talk about how good I looked against Pacquiao and how Pacquiao, you know, of course, if you lose to Pacquiao, you're not a bum for losing to Pacquiao.
Yeah.
So he may have been thinking that.
Yeah. Well, he definitely got a name for himself last night as he took a win from Manny Pacquiao in a split decision, which was, in my opinion, probably one of the worst judged fights I've seen.
Crazy suspect.
Very, very, very long time. I don't know. It was crazy. I watched, as of today, I don't know if you got a chance to watch the fight. I know we talked a little earlier off air about you watching some of the clips, but I watched the entire fight from the first round to the 12th round. There was nothing that I saw Bradley do the entire fight that actually gave him any inkling that he was going to pull out a split decision in this fight. I mean, it was crazy. I'll just bring up the CompuBox stats, just final punch stat report, CompuBox. Total punches landed Pacquiao 34%. Bradley landed 19% of his total punches. Jabs, Pacquiao 24%. Bradley only 11% of his jabs. Power punches, Pacquiao 39%. Bradley 28% of his power punches. Okay, yeah. He landed some power punches. That was probably the biggest stat of the whole fight, but he only landed 19% of his punches, period, in a boxing match. I mean, how do you win a fight landing 19% of your punches?
I honestly think it's like what you said. I think it was you who said this. That like, you know, dude looked – like Pacquiao actually looked like vulnerable. And after, you know, after seeing him just destroy people, like it's weird. It's like, yo, he actually made Pacquiao – and I don't think that this dude is the reason why Pacquiao looked vulnerable. I just think Pacquiao isn't really – like he's near the point of retirement. He ain't really boxing that much. He's a politician. He's just, you know, he comes back and he boxes for a little bit. His last fight was like almost a year ago. So, I mean, yeah, he's going to look a little vulnerable. And you know, I guess they were like, well, Pacquiao didn't look very dominant there. But I have another theory. You want to hear my other theory?
What's your other theory?
So here's what happened.
Does it involve, let me, before you get started with your other theory, does it involve, let me just put like this, does it involve money?
It involves, yes, it involves what I like to call the Illuminati, or in some cases, the Illuminati money.
Okay.
The Illuminati money. So the Illuminati money, what happened is, it's a group of people who fancy themselves to be the Illuminati, but I don't believe in Illuminati, but the Illuminati money is like people who fancy themselves to be of the Illuminati. So what they do is they have money and they're like, you know what? I'm sick of seeing Pacquiao and Mayweather not fight. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Pacquiao's title from him in a really bad decision. Then we're going to set Mayweather up against somebody that we know he can beat. So they got Bradley, who they know Mayweather can beat. He'll be trying to defend his WBO. Mayweather will beat him, unify the title, and then Pacquiao will have to fight him to prove that he's not a complete chump.
He's a superior fighter. I mean, I guess that could be right. I mean, that's one conspiracy. I mean, yeah, that's one conspiracy theory that, I mean, you can look at it being that way. Because, I mean, let's just face the facts, man. Bradley
did not win this fight.
He did not win that fight. No, he did not. And the way he looked in this fight, put like this: if you can't hit Manny Pacquiao, in no way, form, or fashion, you know, I'm not a Manny Mayweather fan. I respect his skills. I respect his style. He's a great boxer. But I'm just saying, if you can't hit Manny Pacquiao, you're not gonna hit Manny Mayweather. I'm sorry. If you land 19% of your punches against Pacquiao, you're going to land, what, maybe 3% of your punches against Mayweather. Because, I mean, dude is a defensive nightmare, you know, when it comes to, you know, rolling punches and just not – I mean, he is – people can't hit the man. So, you know, my thing is, you know, like you said, if they set up this fight against Timothy Bradley, once Mayweather does get back out there, and if they set a fight up with him and Timothy Bradley,
I mean, this is not going to draw up. I don't want to see this fight. I don't. After watching Pacquiao fight Bradley and win, who would want to pay to see? They need to just put that on ABC Wide World of Sports, 8 o'clock prime time on Friday night, because I'm not paying to see Mayweather fight Bradley. I'm not.
But see what I'm saying? Like, here's what you have to bear in mind. Like, and here's what you have to catch. Like, you have to think of it from the conspiracy standpoint. So if you think of it from like the standpoint of like, you know, it just was a horrible decision and this is terrible, but now the only person left for Bradley to really fight, I mean, there's other people, he can go fight Cotto, he can go, but technically, since he beat Pacquiao, technically you can say that he, like, you know, he can beat Cotto and Margarito and all the other people that Pacquiao's fought. So you can say that. So the only person that he's left for him to fight to prove something is to go after the next belt. And of course he's going to have a fight in between that, but you know, Mayweather get out of jail, probably have like a fight in between that, and then those two will fight. And if Mayweather beats Bradley, then you're setting yourself up finally for the last showdown between Pacquiao and Mayweather, which still is like a year away, which is messed up. It would still be about a year and a half away.
And what's crazy is, I mean, we've already heard the rumors about Floyd wanting to retire and, you know, at a certain age, this, that, or other. And I mean, let's be real about it. Manny Pacquiao is only 33. I think he'd be 34 this year. So he's still got a couple of years left if he really wants to fight.
Especially in boxing. Like, if boxing were really strong right now, I would say like he could hang it up because he's only got about a year or two left. But boxing ain't strong right now.
Yeah, it's really not. There's nobody. And I mean, if you look at the fights that Manny Pacquiao fought before he took on this fight against Timothy Bradley, he was very, very dominant. I mean, the last fight was against Juan Manuel Marquez, I think. That was in November of last year, I want to say. He was very, very dominant in that fight. And you go back to when he fought Antonio Margarito, who was a very, very bigger fighter than Pacquiao. And he just literally destroyed Antonio Margarito.
It was horrible.
He destroyed Shane Mosley. They thought Clotty was going to give him some work. Clotty didn't do anything. He made Joshua Clotty. He made light work of Cotto. I mean, the dude, it goes on, the people that he beat. I mean, he hadn't taken a loss since, I think we talked about this off air, in 2005 against Morales, who he avenged two times after that, knocked him out twice. So
just to let you know, he wasn't happy about that loss, for real.
He wasn't. So, I mean, his record is pretty impeccable. And, I mean, you know, we want to set up this fight.
And that loss against Morales, by the way, was when was featherweight loss. So he has not lost since he started climbing. Climbing the classes.
Yeah, and I mean, this is for a man who's only, what, 5'6", and he left the featherweight division, and he's been moving up and beating guys. I mean, literally, because of his stature, the guys that he's been fighting are bigger than him.
Reach. The only difference is, like, apparently he just hits harder.
Yeah, I mean, he possesses a lot of power. I mean, one thing I looked at that fight last night that really, really was crazy to me was the power that he possessed and the angles that he threw some of the punches. Like, his left hand was literally, I mean, when he landed against Bradley, I mean, he was knocking Bradley like four steps back. It was ridiculous, man. He would land a left punch, Javen. It was like he was doing a dance step. You know, like Dancing with the Stars, how they do those dance numbers where they back up three steps or whatever. He was popping Bradley, and like, dude was backing up like three, four steps at a time every time he got hit with that left hand.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's, you know, like I'm saying, that's what he is. We know what Pacquiao is. Pacquiao is a strong dude, and it's like, I feel sorry for dudes who fought him at featherweight, because, like, you know, when you're a middleweight, you can take a, you know, 150 pounds, you can take a little harder hit. Man, them dudes at what, featherweight is 135.
Yeah,
those dudes at that weight had to be in pain after taking that dude. Like, he's putting that left to him. Man, I still, and honestly, I say this, like, if you watch, because I remember you said this and made me laugh. Like, if you watch Bradley's reaction. Like, he literally was like, well, hey, good job, Manny. I guess I lost this fight. And then, like, when they announced that it was him, he looked like he had won the Miss America contest, man. Like, he literally looked like he just won Miss America.
He looked stunned. And then afterwards, you know, talking to the commentators after the fight, I mean, he was like, literally like, well, I need to go home and watch it to see if I, you know, I really did. I mean, dude, anytime you got to go home and watch the tape to actually think, figure out that you won.
The tape of the fight that you were in?
I mean, yeah. And another thing, you know, I'm going to tell a lot of boxing fans out there, this is something that I like to do, especially if you have a DVR or if you record pay-per-view fights, because a lot of times, I mean, I know you pay your money for it. Maybe you want to look at it again. Sometimes, as of today, I don't know if you feel like this, but sometimes the commentators can be a little biased.
Yeah.
They could start talking. And if you're a casual fight fan, you might fall into what the commentators are saying. Now, last night, Emmanuel Stewart And, you know, he's a guy that's been with HBO for a while. Larry Merchant, those guys were calling the fight. I can't think of the other guy who always calls the fights for HBO as well. But they're usually, you know, they don't jump on size a lot. They usually stay right down the middle and they call a good fight, you know?
Yeah.
And but if you're a casual fight fan and you really want to get into the boxing match, if you want to relook at it the next day, just turn off the sound. Turn off the sound. Don't listen to any commentary and just watch the fight yourself. And if you come up with the same results as the commentators did the night of the fight, then obviously you know who won the fight.
Yeah. Or at least like if you're really into it and you have the time, like when you're watching, keep a scorecard. Like just score the rounds. Like, you know, just sit there, you know, watch. Oh, land. You know, score the rounds. And then I think once you do something like that, like it really helps impact like who's winning. Like you can say, well, no, I get that round to Pacquiao. I get that round to, you know, and like the crazy thing is if you look at everybody's scorecards except for the ones that count, like ESPN is giving the fight to Pacquiao 119 to 109.
And that's how Harold Letterman scored it, 119-109, who to me is one of the most respected people. I mean, he's spot on when it comes to fights. And Harold Letterman's been doing this for years, man. I think he's like in his 80s or something like that.
Exactly.
And I mean, most of the fights that, you know, Harold Letterman is the unofficial judge for HBO. He's been doing this for a while, and I respect, you know, his scoring. He scored the fight 119-109.
So here's what I don't get. Like, the scores that were given decision by the judges was 115-113, 113-115, and 113-115. Like, where were the, like, four shots for Pacquiao disappeared from one judge, and for another judge, like, six shots. And then of those six shots that disappeared, like, literally, they added about, like, what, eight shots, not seven shots?
Yeah.
For Bradley,
obviously, in a 15-13 scorecard like that, I mean, obviously, Bradley would have
this fight.
He would have scored more. You know, of course, he would have. You know, seven, like you said, to eight rounds outscored Pacquiao.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if it'd have been maybe seven, eight. It would have been right there on the board. About seven rounds, maybe.
About a 12-round fight, you're looking at like he probably would have. Let's see, for them to have a difference of about two, he would have had to win two rounds, so he would have run like seven. And to Pacquiao's five.
Yeah,
which clearly not the case.
And Harold Letterman had to score 119-109, which would have meant that Bradley only won one round the whole fight.
Pretty much.
So I mean, and from my vantage point, and from the way I looked at it, I thought I could have easily said that Pacquiao won every round. Bradley did, I think, in the late round, maybe the 10th or the 11th round. He did have some spark. But he was more, I think the reason he would probably have won that round is because he was a little more active than Pacquiao. But, I mean, the punches Pacquiao were landing were still crisp. They were still on point. But, you know, he may have fell, you know, a victim of being a little inactive in those later rounds. But
you said, like he hadn't fought for, what, 9 months now? I think it's been, not 10. It's been, this is his first fight in 10 months.
Yeah, like I said, since November of 2011, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, for him, like, I kind of get that. Like, obviously, he's not going to be as sharp. Actually, no, not 9 months. That's 7 months, my bad. But he may not have been as sharp. You know, it's been a minute since he fought. And plus, like, who knows? Like, he has so much other stuff going on. Like, I know he, unless I'm mistaken, he is actually a politician. Like he is.
He's a politician in the Philippines, and he does a lot of stuff over there.
He's in the Filipino House of Representatives.
Exactly. Yes, he's in the 5th Congress of the Philippines.
Yeah. So, I mean, like when you think about that, like I mean, he clearly has, you know, has another job. This isn't even his day job anymore. Yeah. So, I mean, who knows if he's really dedicating the amount of time he needs to boxing, which leads me back to why I don't really think that Mayweather Pacquiao fight needs to happen. Cause you know,
I mean, like I said, Pacquiao, very, very smart guy. Like I said, he's been, and the thing is funny about Pacquiao, man, he's fought all the way from, you know, when he first started professionally from the flyweight, all the way up into
middleweight.
light middleweight. I mean, that's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If I'm not mistaken, that's like 7 or 8 classes.
Yeah, but like it's weird with boxing because like there's different classes for different divisions. Yeah. It's like there's a, like, you know, welterweight versus whatever the corresponding weight for the, you know. Anyway, what I'm saying is there's different classes for different divisions, so that's deceptive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, let's move. I want to talk a little bit more about a fight that happened a little earlier, though. Since we talked about a fight that happened last night, we're kind of, I'm
pretty much at a loss for words. I don't even know what else to say about it other than the fact that Pacquiao got robbed, and I'm gonna just leave it at that. Yep. But I want to talk a little bit about, since we his name comes up anytime somebody says Manny Pacquiao, of course, in that same sentence, another name is gonna come up, and that's money. That's money. You know who I'm talking about?
Who?
Money.
Who?
Money, man. Come on, dude.
who is this? Monty? Like?
No, money. Money. Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Because I ain't never seen his face on a dollar bill, so I don't call him money.
Well, he says he's money. So, but anyway, Floyd Mayweather Jr. You know, he had a fight back on May the 5th. I don't know. What is up with him fighting on May the 5th?
He likes, he had a fight, actually, like, I think it was, like, last week, but it was in jail. So. He's in jail. No, I'm sorry. What?
But no, his last fight was actually against Miguel Cotto, and that was on May the 5th, MGM Grand. He won by unanimous decision. It was, you know what? This is probably the most entertaining fight I've seen. Floyd Mayweather fight in a while. I don't know if you got a chance to see it. Did you get a chance to take a look at it, Ezra J?
I have seen clips from it. I haven't watched the whole thing.
It was a little entertaining. And I guess, you know, maybe the fact that, you know, a lot of people saw Floyd, you know, his mouth was bleeding a little bit, nose was bleeding a little bit. He took some shots from Cotto. Cotto was a tough guy. But, I mean, of course, this is Floyd Mayweather we're talking about. And I think from a standpoint of, you know, Mayweather is, he, you know, he wants to give the fans what they want. You know, he could have really went in there, in my opinion, and just, you know, destroyed Cotto and said, you know what, look, I'm gonna make light work of you and just be done. But I think, you know, Mayweather went in there, hung around, and actually went toe to toe with Cotto for a minute, man, just to give the fans something to see. Because, I mean, let's look at the last several fights that Mayweather's had. He's made light work of his opponents. I mean, the only other fight that I can remember that may have looked a little shaky or sketchy was the De La Hoya fight. But, you know, he De La Hoya gave him a good fight. I think it was a split decision when he fought him. Of course, that was back in 2007. But I don't know. But clearly, after last night, what's next for Money Mayweather?
I mean, other than jail.
Well, he's going to be out of jail in a minute, man.
I just want to make sure we point that out. He's in jail. You know what? Like, I think with this Pacquiao loss, I wouldn't see him. I see him trying to come after Bradley. Like, I could see him trying to consolidate the two belts.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we talked about it. I don't know if I want to pay to see that fight. You know, I know. Do.
I think I want to see it. Because think about it like this. All right, let's say that this whole thing with Bradley was not a fluke. Let's say that, like, Bradley actually has what it takes. And, you know, it could just be he had a bad fight. You know, he fractured his foot, rolled his ankle, whatever. He had a bad fight against, which I don't understand how he rolled his foot and fractured it, but that's, I digress. So let's say that that's like a decent, like, you know, this actually turns out to be his match. And let's say, like, Mayweather loses. This goes back to my conspiracy theory where if Mayweather loses, then he has, like, every reason to fight Pacquiao.
Yeah, he got to fight Pacquiao. I just don't see how Bradley can beat Mayweather when you only land 19% of your punches against Pacquiao.
He was just toying with Pacquiao, son. He was toying with him. He was like, he wasn't taking Pacquiao serious. He was like, you know, whatever, Pac-Man, you know, I you ain't got no dot, so I'm not, like, you know, you can't eat me. I'm not a ghost. And that's what happened. I don't know what that was about. But that's, like, honestly, I think, like, it also could be, maybe it's just, like, against Pacquiao. I mean, he did take some heavy shots, and he's still standing, so...
Yeah, but I'm looking at, you know, Jay, I'm looking at this list of people that Timothy Bradley has fought up into Manny Pacquiao. I mean, he fought Casamayor before he fought Pacquiao and knocked him out in the eighth round. And Casamayor, in my opinion, hadn't really been too much anything in the last couple of years anyway. But the rest of his record is not, I mean, people on here are just like, they're nobodies, literally. So, I mean, this was his first big test and he didn't win. So, I mean...
Yeah, he really didn't. Yeah. Well, he's undefeated, though. That's better than mine.
Yeah, I mean, he's undefeated. I mean, you got people, you know, in my opinion, if you put him in the ring with Miguel Cotto, you put him in the ring with...
Margarito,
some of the tougher guys.
It's going to be knocked out.
Yeah, he will get handled, seriously. So...
Yeah, the people he's been fighting, like, really, Like, I'm surprised he got this shot at Pacquiao, and I guess it was just one of those things where Pacquiao's people were trying to line him up with somebody that was going to be an easy takedown, and of course they got ripped. But you know, he really has not fought anyone of legitimate stature. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see him, man. Like you said, if your conspiracy theories are true, then that was all set up in order to have these
belts consolidated.
Belts consolidated and have this fight actually come into fruition, I guess. I don't know, but we'll have to see. But I'm very, very disappointed as to what happened last night. I feel bad for Manny Pacquiao and what he had to go through. And this is the type of stuff.
I don't feel bad for him. I mean, like, he'll be all right. Like, dude, this is only his fourth loss. He'll be okay.
But this is the type of stuff that makes, I mean, like, literally people want to retire. I mean, when you go through something like that, you train, you fight, you go, you give it your all, and then, you know, you get cheated out of a decision. It's like, you know, why should I even continue to do this if I'm going to get cheated? Now, a lot of people, a lot of fight fans will tell you, you can never leave it in the hands of the judges.
And yeah, finish, I was going to say, next time you see him, knock him out.
Yeah, finish him. You know what I'm saying? That way there will be no question as to what happened.
Because let's just be real. Like, let's be honest here. Like, Pacquiao could have knocked him out. Let's just be real about it. Pacquiao could have knocked him out. I think to an extent, like he was really, like, you know, action was really furious in the first couple of rounds, and then it started dying down. And it's because Pacquiao, I don't want to say it's a training thing entirely, but I think in Pacquiao's mind, he's like, well, I got this. And he just tried to coast through. And that's what happens when you coast. You can lose fights to decisions. So you don't coast. You go out there and you knock him out or you get knocked out. That's how you're supposed to box.
Yeah. I guess that's what you do. Like I said, if you really want to end it and don't, like, you know, you finish it, don't put it in the judge's hands, and then everybody will see it's like, hey, you know, it is what it is. But
you knock him out or you get knocked out. That's how it rolls.
As we move on, to something else.
As we proceed
to give you what? Nah, let me stop. As we proceed, how does this really, in your opinion, we had already talked before about how we look at the sport of boxing and what's going on, but does this still take it down a notch? Do you still have your faith in boxing? Is it still one of your favorite sports, or is it now it's just like whatever with you?
Well, boxing was never one of my favorite sports, and I'm gonna be honest with you. Like, no, and I'm not saying that, like, you know, it's never been, I mean, on the list of sports, it's not like top three, but the thing that I've always liked about boxing is the history and the precision of it. And I think that's still intact. I think the history and the precision is still intact. Now, clearly, any sport where you have a judge can have some issues. And I think that's just, like, you know, part of my gripe with, and it's not really a judge, but, like, officiating can ruin a sport. It doesn't matter if it's boxing. I mean, there's people griping about the officiating in the NBA, myself included. We can gripe about the officiating in the NFL and the fact that they're giving fines to people for hits. And so really is, if anytime you have officiating, it can take away from the pure nature of the sport. But I don't think this kills boxing in my mind. I mean, it's still, you know, that's what happens when you have a sport that can be left to judges. And that goes back to where, like, he should have known better than to sit there and let himself get not knock out Bradley. If he had just taken care of business like he should have in the first place, he wouldn't have been going to judges.
Yeah. Well, you know, my thing is this. I mean, I still, you know, when the fights come up, I still check them out. But, you know, my thing is, like you said now, and that's why I think I've went over to the MMA side of the sport. I mean, rarely do, you know, a lot of MMA fights go into the hands of the judges. Guys in MMA like to finish people off.
MMA, though, ends in, like, 5 minutes. Like, I can't. Like, that's the part. Okay, like, this is, like, we've had this discussion before. That's the part that always sours me on the MMA fights. It's over so quick. Like, if you get up to go grab some snacks, like, oh, let me go get some new chicken wings, and when you come back, the fight's over, and it's not even, like, the replay is good enough. Like, I still remember seeing Kimbo Slice get knocked out on CBS. I watched 15 to 20 minutes of build up, and then Kimbo Slice came out. I was like, yeah, Kimbo, let me go grab a cookie. I walked up to grab some cookies. I walked back and Kimbo was on the mat, and I was like, "What?
I can't believe you brought up Kimbo Slice." Really? And on that note, we'll be back with another segment of the Urban Sports Report.
Kimbo Slice.
Really, nigga? Really, nigga?
That's like typical of every single UFC fight. Thank you. Yo, Leo, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man, you know what? We're on iTunes.
Hey, for real?
Yeah, did you know that?
Yeah, well, I know now.
Yeah, man. Actually, if you go to iTunes and look for the Urban Sports Report, you can find us. You know what the best part about us being on iTunes is?
And what's that?
And you can leave us a 5-star review and tell all your friends about us.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so look for us on iTunes. It's the Urban Sports Report. Give us 5-star reviews and tell your friends about us.
All you Trekkies and TV addicts, don't mean to this, don't mean to bring static. All you Klingons in your grandma's house, grab your back street friend and get loud. Blowing doors off hinges, grab you with the pinches. And no, I didn't retire, I snatch you off with the needle nose pliers.
Like Israel overhaul, what you hoes you never seen before. Riding in the glazing, like your team, you know what you're paid. Like a place they with basil, so not to be like Aaron, I hate so. I'm a pop hot Nick at night with packs running, let you know, alright. Now we ain't calm no long, cause my farm ain't fast, so what's up with that? I got friends and family that I respect. When I think I'm too good, they put me in check. So believe when they say I'm no better than you, except when I rap, so I guess it ain't true. Like that's rolling, you just don't stop. Guaranteed to make your body rock.
Check it out. What's it all about? We're working out. Let's turn this, party out.
Say, Doc, what's up in this shit? I'm a man that's on a mission. So, son, you better listen. Doc, in your what? He's an electrician. Like a scientist. When I'm applying this, method of controlling my mind. Like I'm on a rack that you could fly. Now, hey, baby, but now what the deal? I didn't know you're going for that mass appeal. So I'm calling to Luigi, some of my potato. I stole your mic, but you won't see it later. Cause I work magic like a magician. I add up the mathematician. I'm the main cashier, engineer. I wear cotton and I don't wear gear.
She say I'm an abracadabra. In the whip, I'm going to cruise past ya. Your money, don't jump yourself. Put that back on the shelf. Rays blazing, you out of phase in. The crew's amazing. We're working on the record, y'all, so just stay patient.
Check it out. What's it all about? We're working out. Let's turn this, party out.
They can't arrest me. Fake right, crossover, shoot lefty. You look upset, you'll calm down. You look like cable guy, dumped off of your crown. I flow like smoke out of chimney. You'll never bend me. You wanna rap with your beginning in hip hop beat?
Now, get your phone right out the dryer. Put on a roll up on the tire. Put that fresh attire. Let's go and out, set the town on fire.
Hello everyone, this is Blast Flash from the Vimps Corner, and you're listening to the Urban Sports Report.
Hey, and we back. Are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
I think we're back. We're back with another edition of the Urban Sports Report. Time to talk about something as of today that I thought I wasn't going to talk about no more this year because I was through with it, man. I was through after my Atlanta Hawks got put out, and I ain't really want to bring this back up, but I guess this is kind of intriguing. I guess we can talk about it.
Wait, you were through with what? Okay, so first of all, that denotes that you actually expected the Hawks to do something. Did I not tell you they weren't going to make it? You gotta listen to me when I'm like, look, they're not gonna make it. Like, stop believing.
Very hard head, man. I gotta believe, man. It's my home team. But anyway, I mean,
they're
garbage,
dude. They're just pure garbage. Just,
man, you gonna make me get in my car and drive 4 hours to come see about you in just a minute?
Okay, it's not gonna change the fact they're garbage. Let's just go ahead and get that out the way. You realize that, right?
I wouldn't say that they're garbage. Let's just
I
say
would.
that they're not, how can I put this?
They're not garbage.
They're just not that good. I wouldn't say they're garbage, man.
What made it the playoffs, though?
Garbage is the Charlotte Bobcats. Mm. They are far from the Charlotte Bobcats. If the Hawks had to play the Charlotte Bobcats every round of the playoffs, they would be the NBA champions.
That'd be the sorriest playoffs of all time, dude. I would be like, we would just be frustrated with Joe Johnson. Like, just drive to the hole, Joe. No one's gonna stop you.
He probably wouldn't do it then either. Not even against the Bobcats.
He'd still be jump shooting and then just passing the ball off because you know what? I don't want to talk about the Hawks. So it's the NBA Finals. First of all, I want to say welcome to the finals. This is actually kind of exciting because now you have an experienced team that's pretty young that's actually kind of playing. They stay together. They took out Boston, and of course that's the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat, with the big three that they have, just wiped out the old big three, which was in Boston.
The old big three,
And I think they're gone.
The old big three was KJ and Hondo, right? KJ Hondo KJ Hondo and
KJ Hondo and Peace,
and Peace and Bay was part of that too, wasn't he?
Yeah, and they had physician streams.
Yeah, KJ and Hondo, man, I tell you, whoo, they were some players. Anyway.
Yeah. But, that's what happened. Like, they pretty much just wiped out the big three. That was Pierce, Ray Allen, and KG when they came together there. And of course, they're no longer the big three anymore. I mean, Rondo is as big a part of that as anybody else. But they took out the Boston Celtics, and now, of course, they're going up against the OKC, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And
who took out another oldie?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, the best part about that is they just went by kind of like the older team that was, I think, is probably going to have a little bit of a dismantling too. And so two teams that have pretty much just fought their way in this. It's going to be a good matchup. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's two teams that were formed in two different ways. Like, the Thunder went the traditional route of just, like, bringing in people through, like, small trades here and there and just drafting really well. Like, they drafted Durant. They drafted Westbrook. They brought in Perkins. They brought in Cephalosha. They brought in a bunch of players to try to help support them. And I think they drafted Harden.
Harden has been very instrumental with that team, man.
And then you take the Heat. The Heat really haven't had any real big draft picks, but they brought everybody in through these giant name trades. Like, of course, LeBron James, the one we think of first. They did draft Dwayne Wade, but they also brought in Chris Bosh. They brought in Shane Battier. I want to say Chalmers was a draft.
Haslam. Was Haslam a draft?
Haslam, I think, was a draft.
Okay.
But, like, they brought in these big name players, the superstars. They brought their superstars in instead of
They brought Bosh in from Toronto.
Yeah. So instead of growing them themselves, they kind of brought them in. And so now you have, like, these two, like, really good teams, I think, fighting it out. And I think it's going to be a good game. You have, like, two really athletic teams, too. Like, both these dudes, like, if you get into an open court, like, running back and forth, both these teams can run with the best of them. And they are the best of them.
Yeah, two young teams, man. Not to cut you off, as of today, I'm very impressed. Because, I mean, I don't know. We were all thinking to ourselves that if this might be, in my opinion, it was going to be like a seniors tournament. I mean, a seniors finals. Seriously, when San Antonio started off hot in the playoffs, man, and we really thought that San Antonio was going to run through everybody like a hot knife through butter. They had the experience. I mean, their team was clicking. And we know, as of today, a lot of times when teams get to the playoffs and they get hot, it's hard to stop them. But Oklahoma City, I guess they said, you know what, man, we're not going to let these old-timers do this to us, and they shut them down. And the same with Miami. Miami took it. You know, Boston took it to seven games, but I think, Miami prevailed. Their youth kind of, they kind of ran Boston to a point where,
Something to take away from this as far as OKC, remember the fact that, like, they were down 0-2, and they fought back and won four straight.
Exactly, four straight.
So the thing about them, the best thing about them is that they've shown that they have a good deal of mental toughness, and they've grown up. Like, you've seen them go from being kind of like a young team that's trying to find their way to a team who feels like they're ready.
Yeah. I've been a big fan of Kevin Durant since he's gotten in the league, man. I mean, I really, really like the guy's game. But let's just be real about it, Hazard J, before we talk a little bit more about the finals matchup. Do you think Durant is still getting the respect in the league that a lot of the other big-name players are? Because, I mean, let's just face it, man. He has kind of putting this OKC team on his back, man. He's become a very, very legitimate star in this league.
So wait, why do you say you don't think he gets any respect?
But I guess how could I put this? One of the sexier players that people talk about all the time. You know, he doesn't get the airtime.
Okay, wait. Like, so who do you think is sexy in the NBA then?
Hey man, look, don't.
No, I'm just, you said it, not me. I'm just trying to understand.
I'm saying, like, you know, hey. There are a lot of other players that get more. I'm just saying, a lot of other players that get more, I guess.
Have you been watching any of the playoffs?
I watched the playoffs, but I'm saying up until, like, recently. Okay, I guess maybe not following the coverage like I probably should with the NBA based on the fact that my team is no longer there.
Okay.
But, I mean, Kevin Durant.
Let me ask you this. So you said you've been watching the playoffs. Have you seen, like, Kevin Durant in NBA commercials?
Yeah, he's the doodle jump.
There's more than just that one. There's the doodle jump. That's a Sprint commercial. But there's an NBA commercial with Kevin Durant. There's several. There's one with him sitting in the rafters.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I've seen all the commercials.
You're missing that Kevin Durant is still respected. I mean, also bear in mind, he won the scoring title this year. And I think he was a runner-up for MVP, unless I'm mistaken. The thing is that we're missing is that while Kevin Durant is extremely good, in fact, Kevin Durant is great, he's playing at a time when LeBron is in the league too. That's just like saying that, like, well, Karl Malone never got his due because Michael Jordan was
there.
I mean, he's having the same effect. And this happens like that every time you have a really, truly dominant player, there's another player that kind of doesn't get any shine. Like, you know, if you talk about, like, great centers, you may talk about like Olajuwon and Ewing, but, you know, we miss the fact that David Robinson was there.
Yeah, he was a legitimate center at that time. Yeah.
Not just legitimate. David Robinson is a Hall of Fame center, but we miss that because of how good the centers were at that time. And then when you fast forward to, like, the era of the guards, if you will, like, you know, there are other really good guards around the league. It's just that Michael Jordan was so good.
Yeah.
And then you fast forward to now, and, like, you know, there's other great forwards in the league, small forwards who are just amazing, unstoppable. Durant's one of them, but LeBron James is that good.
That good, yeah. So, I mean, you know, and another thing too, before we get right into it, the season, Jay. I mean, how did the season, you know, we had a shortened season because of the lockout. How did this affect, do you think this at all affect the way the playoffs went down? I mean, you know, shortened season, a lot of condensed games, condensed schedules. Do you think that really played in on the conditioning, or do you think it played in on the whole?
I think it affected the playoffs, definitely. I mean, if you look at the older teams, it seemed like they hit a wall. Like, now, the Spurs hit an Oklahoma City Thunder wall. But if you look at, like first of all, the Bulls hit a wall when they lost Derrick Rose.
And that was due to injury.
Well, no, Derrick Rose was injured because of all the injuries he suffered through the season and the fact that he was putting as much wear and tear on his body as he was. That shortened season caused a lot of injuries. So by default, the playoffs were altered. Like, Boston should never have been playing the Heat for the conference finals, because
Chicago
would have beat Philly if Derek was there, and they probably would have beat the Celtics, and then you would have seen Chicago versus the Heat. And I don't know, with the way the Celtics did the Heat, and if, I don't know, if they had Chris Bosh the entire series, that's another thing. But also, bear in mind, Chris Bosh got injured, which made that series drag out to 7 games, which means that
did he really get injured? Because somebody had told me that he went to go be an extra on Jurassic Park 4.
No. Now, he legitimately got injured. Now, that's, and that, you know what? I want to say this. I'm not going to slander Chris Bosh, because when he came back, reason they won that 7th game was because
of him. Last night, I was saying he really had a great performance in that game last night, man.
And he came back. I mean, it takes a lot for a player to come back, and instead of trying to, like, you know, establish his dominance, instead of trying, and in fact, I respect him for the fact that he doesn't try to take over games. He was the man in Toronto, like, literally all scoring came from him.
That was it. That's all they had. I can't even name another player that was on that squad up there in Toronto.
Well, you know, I want to say they had Cardona. They had
who?
Jose Cardona, who's not really a scorer, but he's a decent point guard. They also had Barbosa. Leandro Barbosa was up there.
Who?
Excellent Brazil.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Well, yeah, you don't know him because you really don't follow basketball, so don't.
I mean, yeah. I follow. I mean, I know who Barbosa
is. If you did, you
know
who Barbosa
was. I do. I'm just saying, I mean, hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Hello?
I think we may be having some technical difficulties on the Urban Sports Report, but
I can still hear you.
Angelo J, are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we're still here. We were talking about Chris Bosh in Toronto.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, but the difference, though, is that Chris Bosh had left that role and has accepted the fact that he's not the best player on the team, and he's doing everything he can to help his team win within his role, and that's impressive. Like, you have to respect him for doing that.
What about another thing too? I know around the league, a lot of people were talking, and I was listening to some sports talk radio, as well about Dwayne Wade's role with this Miami Heat team now, as opposed to years past. I mean, has his role changed? I mean, we've seen him, you know, I've seen him take a back seat. I mean, in that game, I guess, what was the game five or game six, where LeBron just was out there possessed. I mean, he kind of took a back seat. Do you think his role has changed?
Game six and seven, so I think what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was game six when LeBron just came out there possessed, right?
Six and seven. Yeah, six he was pretty possessed, and then seven he pretty much continued six. But no, I think with Dwayne Wade, he still has the same role. And I think with Dwayne Wade too, like, remember when he first came to the league, he was playing with Shaq, and Shaq was still dominant. Shaq was still Shaq. So what was happening is that, like, you know, Shaq was the dominant player, and he, you know, Dwayne Wade is okay with just scoring when necessary. Now, I'll say this, like, I don't like Dwayne Wade's attitude when, I know you saw this, like, when he's not hitting shots, we all know he doesn't play defense. Like, he doesn't.
You said it, I didn't. I was going to say something about it, but go ahead.
Yeah, we know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's clear. Like, when he's hitting shots, he's a complete player. But let him miss like four shots in a row. Dude is not going to play defense. He complains. He's and, you know, he has the right to be that way. I'll say that, like if, you know, he is a star. So stars are like that. Like, you know, they're temperamental. But yeah, no, I think he's a scorer, and he understands, like, if, you know, he understands he's here to contribute points and to play D, and he does a great job of it when he's scoring.
Yeah. You know, like I said, this is going to be very, very interesting based on the fact that I think this is the matchup that a lot of NBA fans wanted to see.
I
mean, me too. I really, and I think at the beginning of the season.
No, I'm saying this isn't who I want to see. Now, I'm not against it. I think it's going to be a good matchup.
Who did you want to see?
Man, I'm old school. I really want to see one final Celtics versus Spurs, just to see, like, KG up against Tim Duncan, and the Spurs were playing really well. They were playing extremely well. And I think with Boston, too, I think this may be the last time you see Boston play together again.
Changing of the guards, man. I mean, you knew it was going to happen eventually, man, with these old teams. And, I mean, let's just be real. They gave it a good push. They went to the conference finals, Jay.
Yeah, but that still goes back to, like I said, they really shouldn't have even been in the conference finals this year.
Yeah. San Antonio, like I said, they destroyed everybody before they got to Oklahoma City. Now, like you said, bear in mind, Derrick Rose went down with Chicago. So
yeah,
we could debate all day whether or not Boston actually belonged there.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not saying that, like, Boston isn't a good team. I'm just saying that I don't think Boston would have beat Derrick Rose-led Chicago.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But I can say that now because it's all just, like, you know, speculation. But who knows? Like, they may have been able to shut them down because, honestly, there's been games where LeBron has been playing lights out this entire postseason, and they still managed to beat them three games. And, you know, there's other players on the Heat that were missing shots looking a lot like the Chicago Bulls players. So,
yeah,
you never know.
Well, let's check it out, man. Let's go right into it, Jay. Let's talk about the position-by-position matchups for the NBA Finals.
I want to do something a little different.
Sorry, go ahead.
I want to do something a little different. So here's what I thought. Like, what are the things that you think of when you talk about winning championships in basketball?
In basketball, and I'm kind of still old school when I think of championships in the NBA, I think, you know, defense obviously is one.
Right.
I think that, you know, when I look at old school, you know, because I come from, I guess, the 90s to me were probably my best basketball watching years. And there was a lot. Of course, we did have some prolific scoring by, you know, the GOAT, in my opinion. We had prolific score and Michael Jordan. But there were some defensive teams in the 90s that kind of just stood out, being one to me, Detroit.
That was 2000, I think. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, Detroit comes to mind as being like a defensive team. I mean, you did have some very good defensive teams. So when you think about championships, you think about defense, you think about prolific scores, you think about that, I guess, floor general that would just, you know, get everything together. You look at, you know, of course, Jordan was not only was he, you know, the prolific scorer that he was the floor general, man. I mean, everybody rallied around him in order to win the championships, man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think of when I think about NBA. And
yeah, I'm with you on that. Defense, I think about, like, coaching. I think, like, when you think about, like, the players, I guess the teams that have won like NBA championships. You can think about your Greg Popoviches. You can think about Doc Rivers. You think about Phil Jackson.
Phil Jackson, you got to
get. You can go further back and think about like Pat Riley winning with the Showtime Lakers, trying to win with Miami. I think he won one with Miami, too.
He won one with Miami.
So when you think about like those, you think about coaching, and also you think about the chemistry between the team. Like, the best example of team chemistry not working was the Lakers. You remember, like, Shaq and Kobe were together, and when they were working together, it was an unstoppable force. But then you get all these superstars, or former superstars, and, like, you know, they kind of built the Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaquille O'Neal. Yeah, conglomerate of people who wanted rings.
Yeah, they just, at that point in time, they were just out there.
Yeah, the conglomerate of dudes who wanted rings, and they still lost, even though they had the good coach. They still, and it was because chemistry ripped them apart.
Yeah, the chemistry. I mean, like you said, that's another thing. I guess I should have said before, but yeah, chemistry has a lot to do with it, man. I mean, people have to know their role on the team, and they have to be able to fill the void. They have to be able to play their position.
Yeah, the ability of their role players to play their role. And this counts even if you are a star, like we're talking about Bosh. To know your role and play it. And so what I was thinking what we could do is, instead of doing like a position by position breakdown, let's break it down by how each of these teams does those things, and then we'll see who has the edge.
Yeah.
So the things I'm talking about is defense. We can even do like a superstar, because you mentioned like a floor general, somebody who can carry a team. We can talk about the superstar's abilities to carry their team.
Okay, okay.
We can talk about floor generals in the case of point guards, legitimate generals, the coaches. And then finally, I think that's five right there, but we can throw a sixth in for chemistry.
Okay.
So when we talk about defense, which team do you feel, having watched them play, do you feel the Thunder or the Heat have the edge in defense?
Defensively, I'm gonna go with the Thunder with defense, man. I really like the way those guys play defensively. I'm a big fan of Harden, and I think that they're a good defensive team. Watching them in the stretch, winning those four straight against San Antonio, they kind of – not only did they run San Antonio to death, but when they had to play some legitimate defense against them, they really, really did. And they matched up very, very well. And I think we'll talk about this a little later. Coaching-wise, had a lot to do with that. But I'm going to get an edge to the Thunder on that.
I think that – I don't want to take anything away from the Heat, but the thing I like about them is they're built really similarly. Like the Thunder actually have a – defender, a stopper, a star stopper, if you will, in Thabo Sefolosha, who, you know, you saw him go up against, I want to say he went up against Kobe and just harassed him. Yeah. And you can see him go up against like these stars of the league, and he's the prototypical defender, where he's about 6'8", he's 6'7", 6'8", I think, and he's just a lockdown one-on-one. You can leave him on the dude, and he will harass him and stay with him the full length of the court. So I like that, and I think the Heat have that guy in Shane Battier. That's Shane Battier's forte, is getting in someone's face and then just staying with him. The difference, I think, is that Thabo Sefolosha is younger. Yeah. Like, Battier's time as being that real stopper has long since passed. And overall, I think the Heat play a really good swarming type of defense, but it's based so much on the athleticism of Wade and James.
And James,
That they don't play a complete team defense. So I kind of want to give
And I also got to give, you know, when we talk about defense, like you said, Jay, I don't want to take anything away from Miami. I give the edge to the Thunder, but you got
to. I give the edge to the Thunder, too.
Chris Bosh, too. He plays some good defense in the middle there. You know, he was a presence, and it was actually shown, I think, last night in that last game that, you know, his defense came along playing down there in the middle. And like you said, Shane Battier, of course, you know, he's that guy that's consistent with sticking with whoever you put him on. But I think clearly, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm going to give the edge to the Thunder.
Plus, like, even when we talk about in the middle, like, would you prefer to have Kendrick Perkins in the middle backing you up, or would you prefer to have, like, Joel Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, of course, or I'm not going with my man Perkins.
Yeah, and, like, and the Heat have been switching to a smaller set simply because they don't have a, quote-unquote, truly mobile defensive center. And, you know, Perkins is working that floor. Like, he may be a little bit bigger than everybody else, but he's coming down and he's playing hard-nosed defense. And even though he's a bit of a liability on offense, they really make up for him on offense.
Yeah.
So the next thing we were talking about is kind of like the superstar of the team, the person who's going to carry him. Yeah. Now, who do you think the superstar of the Thunder is in your mind?
In my mind, I mean, well, you got actually two guys that come to mind, but I'm saying the definite superstar for the Thunder is going to be, in my opinion, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is going to be the definite superstar. He's going to be that guy that's going to be like, hey, come on, let's get it. And when all else fails, give me the ball and I'll put it on my back.
And so that's where the similarities, I think, are still there for both teams, because both of them have these superstars who either one of both of them are scorers. They have two scoring superstars, and the edge, I think, is kind of a draw for me. And the reason why is that Durant is a different scorer than Westbrook is. Durant can slash and be a slasher, but Durant has an amazing shot and he has height. So he'll pull up the jumper and knock it over you. Whereas like LeBron and Dwayne Wade both have the same style of scoring. They both are slashers.
Yeah, LeBron is well, I call LeBron like just a brute. I mean, he's just going to go in and just, you know, he's going to get to the basket no matter what.
Right.
But like you said, Kevin Durant's skill set is a little different. He's more of a, you know, I got a little more finesse. I like him as a small forward, man. In comparison, Jay, when you look at Kevin Durant and you look at LeBron James, I mean, I like LeBron James, but skill set wise, man, Kevin Durant, in my opinion, is just a little more rounded.
I'll say this. Kevin Durant has a more consistent outside shot, but LeBron plays better defense and he has a post-up game.
Yeah.
And Durant really doesn't – I mean, Durant can post you up, but if you put him against like LeBron can post up a power forward and score consistently.
And for Durant,
remember, he's 6'10", I think. So for Durant, for the majority of the time, he's going to be playing a mobile power forward, somebody who has a little bit more weight, then they're going to try to rough him up. And you can't really rough up LeBron like you can Durant.
Because, and like I said, you got to look at it. In my opinion, LeBron James, in my opinion, is probably one of the strongest guys in the NBA.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, when you look at Kevin Durant, I mean, you look at his frame, of course, like you said, he's 6'10", 6'9", 6'10", I think, and he plays small forward. You wouldn't actually see somebody in his frame playing that position. So, you know, I mean, he doesn't have the weight, I guess, or, you know, he doesn't really have the muscle to really be one of those post-up type players. Yeah. And I guess that's maybe why he
developed his outside shot just for that purpose.
And I'm going to call this a bit of a draw, though, because, like, Russell Westbrook is the X factor in this.
He just equalized, I think.
Well, more specifically, Russell Westbrook, his ego is the X factor. If he can bite his tongue and just, like, let Durant be great, then I think that the Thunder have the edge as far as their superstar duo. But truthfully, like, Dwayne Wade will defer to LeBron. And I think it's because Dwayne Wade realizes that he is playing with the best player in the NBA. Dwayne Wade understands that. And I think to an extent, even just to put it differently, Dwayne Wade understands that he's not the best player on his team.
Yeah.
I don't think Westbrook I really don't think Westbrook gets that. Westbrook, in his mind, is the best player on his team.
I mean, Westbrook is good. Like I said, I mean, it's kind of neck and neck. I mean, but like I said, we both
Durant is better, though. Yeah.
With dynamic duos. And like you said, when it comes down to it, I think that, you know, yeah, Dwayne Wade will concede to LeBron and say, okay, hey, man, do your thing. But, you know, like I said, I say I get an edge to Oklahoma City just on the fact that I feel like Kevin Durant is a little more rounded than LeBron. I think LeBron is probably, you know, in this series going to come out and just be a beast like he was in game 6 and 7. But, you know, I think Kevin Durant, you know, have a cooler head and try to play a more sound game and get things done. But like you said, it's all contingent on what Westbrook wants to do. So,
right.
But I'm still get an edge to Oklahoma City.
So I think the thing to talk about next is just coaching. Like, which coach of the two, teams do you prefer or do you like the most?
I mean, dude, does Miami really even have a coach? I mean, see, I'm not being funny, man. I'm really not being funny, but I mean, I saw some great coaching with Oklahoma City in the last four games against San Antonio. But over the years, I mean, I've been looking at, you know, Miami with LeBron and Bosh and Wade, and it's almost like, I mean, I think dude's just there to be there. I mean, I'm not impressed.
I think you're making a mistake a lot of people are making with Miami. It's because it's LeBron, because it's Dwayne Wade, I said it yesterday because, you know, Spoelstra was up there, like, you know, clapping and doing the coach thing. And I tweeted yesterday, like, whatever, Spoelstra, like, someone let him know that deciding to play LeBron James the entire game is not a coaching decision. Like, that doesn't make you a great coach. Sit down. So, I mean, I fall into that too. But here's what we miss. Like, LeBron James is an incredible player, but he doesn't have a ring. Some of that can be blamed on, like, he had good teams in Cleveland, but he had good enough teams. Let's put it like that. He had good enough teams in Cleveland, but they couldn't break it. And I think sometimes what we miss, there's a lot of great players and great scorers who, without the coach, would not make it anywhere.
Well, yeah. I mean, but I look at Spoelstra. I guess that's how you pronounce
Spoelstra.
Spoelstra. I mean, you know,
right. Spoelstra.
Spoelstra, man. Did I get it right?
Damn. Yeah, you're still getting it wrong, but whatever.
Okay, whatever. But anyway, I look last year, in my opinion, I mean, Rick Carlisle last year, he kind of did him out, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, as far as like coaching, you know, and that's kind of, I guess maybe that's.
But that was just, last year though.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's kind of what stands out to me when I think of Miami's coach.
Both of them, like, but here's the thing though. Both of them are young coaches. Like, Spoelstra's young. I'm trying for life of me to remember the name for the coach for the OKC, and I'm drawing a full blank. Thank you. But he's also young. They're both two young coaches. This is like their. I know this is Spoelstra's first head coaching position, and I want to say this is the first head coaching position for OKC too. So they're both really young. This is like, you know, Spoelstra has been to the finals before and lost. And, you know, you can say what you want to about as far as the team. I think some of that makes a difference in how he approaches the finals again. He's been to the finals before and has lost, but he has gotten his team to the finals before. And I think he has actually addressed and helped build the defensive mindset of his team.
Yeah.
He has held them together through major injury. And, you know, Chris Bosh getting knocked out was a serious injury. He's managed to take them as a team and hold them together through losses, through streaks, through Dwayne Wade, like, pretty much just losing on the bench. And he's still able to maintain and keep this team winning. But that's something that gets missed.
But on the backside of it, too, man, you got to give props to a guy like Scott Brooks. Because, I mean, really, legitimately, man, you going down 0-2 to San Antonio that had ripped through everybody before they got to OKC. And, I mean, I think a lot of it had to do with Scott Brooks saying, hey, okay, let's regroup, let's refocus, and let's do this. And I think you can, you know, really say that, I mean, he kind of stepped up his coaching game based on, you know, what happened the first two games in that series. So, I mean, let's give him some credit there, man. I mean, I think that, you know, he's coming. He's probably be one of the big time coaches here within the next several years.
You can make that same argument, I think, for the Heat, because the Heat went down pretty big to the Celtics. And, you know, it was 3-2, and they were able to come back and win those last two games. But also bear in mind the Heat and a lot of those games were down by like 10, 15 points. And that's usually the merit of a coach. Like, if your team is down 10, 15 points in, you know, second quarter, your ability to help them make adjustments to catch them back up and then have them blaze through the rest of the game says a lot. And I think the fact that, like, you know, I'm not saying Spoelstra is this amazing X's and O's coach, but I think he probably has a little bit more as far as being able to make adjustments mid-game. Whereas, honestly, I hate to say it like this, but the Thunder should have went down 2-0 against the Spurs. It took them two games to get the adjustments made.
But it took them two games to get the adjustments made.
Like I said, they may not get those two games against the Heat.
You're right, but I think we talked about it earlier, though, man. I mean, Scott Brooks, I mean, I think, I don't know if you said it or but we were talking about, Cephalosha and his defensive skills and how, you know, the coverage, I think, was kind of changed up in the third game and the following games with OKC and San Antonio. I think he pushed Cephalosha on the Parker, and I think that made a big difference to kind of slow him down. Because you got to remember, man, San Antonio was in a big groove, man, all the way up into that OKC game. And like you said, I mean, I understand what you mean with the two games and how long it took him to get it together, and they might not get it with Miami. But, I mean, this dude did come up with a nice plan to pull that final.
A big part of coaching, though, is obviously coming up with a plan to win the next game between games, but coming up with a plan to win the game that you're playing is also a big thing. And making adjustments in-game, I think Spoelstra's a better coach in that aspect. And I'm willing to give the edge to Spoelstra because he has been to the finals before and he's good at making in-game adjustments, whereas Scott Brooks is a little slower to do it.
I don't know. I'm going to give it even, man. I'm going to really give it even. I know Spoelstra, I can't pronounce this man's name to save my life, but I know Spoelstra, he has the experience. But I'm gonna give it down the middle. I think Scott Brooks, man, you know, like you said, if given the time, depending on how long this series goes, he can find ways to make adjustments in this lineup in order to figure out some of the matchup discrepancies. So I'm gonna give it even, man. I'm gonna say it's even, Steven.
All right. So the next thing I think that we pointed out was the bench, or specifically the six men, people coming off the bench, the non-superstar players, which, you know, play a big deal, I guess, like, because, like, when you're playing at home, your non-superstar players, your role players, they really have to step up, especially your bench. Your bench really has to step up and come through for you. So which bench do you like the most, the Heat bench or the Thunder bench?
I base this on one player, because I guess anybody that can take an elbow from Metal World Peace and still just be like, what? I'm going to give it to OKC. My man Harden, shout out to... Nah. But nah, man. I don't know, man. This is really, really funny to me, because I'm looking at both of these benches, man, and they're both solid, Jay.
One of them looks good on paper. Let's just say that. One of them looks really good on paper.
Okay, OKC looks good on paper?
No, OKC is good. The Heat look good on paper.
The Heat look good on paper. Okay.
The Heat look good on paper. They have a lot of big names on paper.
I mean, they got a bunch of old names, too. I started looking at some of them. I didn't even know Juwan Howard was still in the league.
Yeah, he shot some free throws.
He got in there last night. He was in there last night. I was like, man.
But see, here's the thing, though. Like, the Heat have, you know, their bench is all right. But, like, truthfully, the Heat's bench hasn't had any real chemistry. They haven't gelled. And they really can't be counted on to score. And that's why if you watch games, LeBron and Dwayne Wade are on the court. At least one of them's on the court every minute of the game.
Yeah, they got Eddie Curry. They got Juwan Howard, Jalen Jones, Mike Miller.
And we really saw the weakness of their bench when Bosch got hurt. We really saw the weakness of his bench when Bosch got hurt. When you think about the fact that when Bosch got hurt, they had no way to plug in to do anything about him. Like, Udonis Haslam is the best other option off the bench, and that's terrifying if you're a Heat fan. Whereas with the Thunder, I mean, like, you know, they got Harden. Harden is a starter on any other team.
Harden is a beast, man.
A starter on the other team, and they've done a good job. You know, shout out to Scott Brooks for doing a good job of getting him starter minutes coming off the bench so that he's happy on the bench.
Yeah.
And then you add in the fact that they have, like, I think, I want to say Cephalosha is coming off the bench, too.
He is coming off the bench.
There's one other player on that bench that's really good.
Ibaka's starter.
Serge is a starter. But, like, there's one of the players
coming off the bench. They got Royal Ivy.
It's one of the good, one Mahmoud, of the dudes, though.
Muhammad.
Nazir Muhammad. He's on that team?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he's also a good power forward off the bench.
Juwan Cook.
I'm telling you, like, they have a better bench than the Heat do. And then, you know, I wish I had a stat for how many points that they had scored, but the bench for on the strength of Cephalosha and Harden alone, and, you know, Nazi Muhammad's decent, but the strength of them alone, I mean, that makes a huge difference. I think that bench is stronger.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, as of today, I guess you're going to give the bench to Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna give the bench to Oklahoma. Like I said, man, I'm going my boy Harden all the way. I'm gonna get me a Harden something.
Just go ahead and grow a beard, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm gonna grow the beard. I'm gonna grow the Harden.
Grow the Harden beard.
If they take it all the way, I'm gonna grow the Harden beard. But
Harden beard and get the mohawk and you're set, man.
No, I'm not. I can't do a mohawk, son. That's just not gonna happen. Once you pass the age of 20, that should not be a grown man. I mean, he could get away with it because he's playing the NBA.
Yeah.
If you pass
that, you have a regular job. It's time to let it go.
Professional sport, you need to get rid of that mohawk.
And I think the last thing that we can talk about, too, about the teams, I think the best is the quote-unquote intangible or chemistry of the teams.
Chemistry-wise, I mean, I'm going to say straight up it's a draw. I mean, I like, you know, we talked about the quarrel between, and it's not really a quarrel, I guess, to say that Westbrook thinks he's the man. I mean, we both agree that Durant is the man on that team, but I'm thinking it's not as a big, not a big factor.
It's a big deal in late games when someone has to take a shot and, you know, the dude who controls the offense for you is the dude who thinks he's supposed to be taking the shot and he's not the dude who should be taking the shot. Like, if you draw up a play, let's put it like this. If you as a coach have to draw up plays where your best ball handler needs to be away from the ball so that he doesn't get it, then something's up. Like, you should have some chemistry. I mean, of course, Durant and Westbrook have settled it out, and Westbrook really does look like he's starting to accept his role. But yeah. I think I honestly feel like I said, Chris Bosh helped submit this for me. The way Dwayne Wade has deferred to LeBron if you watch like LeBron and of course like crunch time, what is whatever, like LeBron has been passing out of shots on crunch time and passing them off. But the thing that I've noticed is that Dwayne Wade has been shooting like streaky, like it's inconsistent shooting and just piss poor at times and at other times like decent. But what I've noticed is that LeBron has consistently made sure that he fed him the ball. And when Dwayne Wade's having a bad game, LeBron is giving him dunks, layups. He's doing everything he can to get him in the game. And I think the fact that LeBron is working so hard to keep his teammates involved in the game is almost as if he's saying, like, look, I want to do this with y'all, not despite of y'all, you know, despite y'all.
Yeah.
So I think that makes a huge difference. And as far as like everything goes with Westbrook and Durant, I mean, things are getting a little bit better and the team obviously really enjoys each other, but I think that they're one serious meltdown away, or one like Westbrook taking one shot and Durant getting after him about it, and one meltdown away from really having a true fracture and rupture in that team.
Yeah.
And I don't know if any of the veteran guys on the team, like Fish or Perkins, is going to be able to like repair the gap that could be caused by the true rupture between those two talents. And it's all based upon, like I said before, the X factor of Westbrook, if whether or not he can check his ego long enough, you know, to defer to Kevin Durant's greatness.
I mean, if you want to win a championship, he will. I mean, but you know, once again,
that drive to win can be just as detrimental if he feels that he's the dude who's going to win the game for him.
I guess I'm gonna draw this down the middle. I'm gonna draw it down the middle, man.
They match up, the teams match up, and I think this is something a lot of people miss. The teams have a lot of similarities, and they match up like really well across the board. The only difference, of course, is that like Durant's size, and it's weird. Durant's height over LeBron kind of gets negated by LeBron's athleticism and sheer power. And there's a solid chance that we're not gonna see these two guard each other. Like, I don't think. If you're Spoelstra, you really don't want LeBron guarding Durant. You put like Haslam or Bosch on him, and I think Bosch has the quickness and ability to stay, well, maybe not stay in front of, but to really give Durant some issues.
Some issues. I mean, so you don't see them matching LeBron up with Kevin Durant at any point in the series?
I mean, they might, but it I would think that LeBron would have to ask for it. Like, LeBron would have to ask to guard, and the reason for that is that I would like to see what they did to Rondo happened to Westbrook. If they switched out LeBron and Wade and Chalmers and just kept someone fresh on him and kept making him have to adjust to a new defender every so often, like instead of him just getting like, well, LeBron is this dude, so like, you know, he's gonna try to body him up a little bit, you know, give him some LeBron, let LeBron put the body to him, then give him some Wade, make him like, because when he gets used to like using his speed to get around LeBron and shooting over him, put Wade on him, and then like, you know, when Wade's not working, put Chalmers on him and just keep a rotation of people on him to keep frustrating them. Because it worked really well against Rondo. Now, Rondo had that one amazing game, but if you watch throughout the rest of the series, like, Rondo still struggled for Rondo. I mean, he had good games for anybody else, but for him, he wasn't able to push it over the top because of that carousel.
Yeah. I don't know. So, okay. This is just gotten really, really. My head is spinning now as it is. Let's get to the point. Let's get to the nitty gritty. NBA Finals, Tuesday night, 9:00. Series starts. Let's do the predictions. Let's do it, man. Let's go. You first.
Man, this is hard for me to call. Like I said, the teams are so similar. But I really feel like the edge goes to the Thunder in just their ability to score, the fact their ability to dismantle teams, and like Dwayne Wade not showing up concerns me. Like, him not showing up to games, like, you know, Chris Bosh is coming back from injury, he's gonna take him a little bit to get acclimated, and I don't know if they can afford to have Dwayne Wade not show up. I will say this though, if Dwayne Wade shows up like he did in like game four of the Celtics series, if he shows up like he did then, where he's scoring and he's putting up 20 to 30 points, and LeBron, of course, is doing his thing as LeBron, I don't see OKC beating them.
Yeah.
Or slowing them down. I mean, they can score with them, but it's just hard to imagine, like, you know, and it's a lot of stuff has to go right for the Heat, though. You have to have Wade put in the points, Bosch put in the points, Battier hit threes, you know, play excellent defense. It's a lot of stuff that has to go right for them. Whereas for OKC, they have a little bit more room, a little bit more margin for error. So I got to go with OKC.
I'm going to go.
I think it's going to go seven, though.
I'm going to go with OKC. I'm going to go with OKC.
Just for the simple fact of the matter is, I think that, you know, their perseverance against San Antonio showed me so much. And I think that this team, I think that San Antonio was a more sound team, a more experienced team than this Miami team is. Don't get me wrong. Miami has some experience. They were in the finals. They got a lot going for them. But just to the what I saw from Oklahoma City and closing that series out with San Antonio just showed me so much. I think that they're going to come in and they're going to take this in six games, in my opinion, against the Miami Heat. Now, I would love to see LeBron get a ring so all of his haters can just really get off his back. But I just don't think Miami has enough to deal with OKC.
I honestly think San Antonio, the win against them, we're giving them a whole lot of credit for that win because San Antonio was on the streak that they were on. But I think what we have to bear in mind about San Antonio is that they were an excellent, excellent team, excellent veteran team. But I still honestly believe that they – how can I put this gently? Like, I just honestly believe that they just were not as good as we thought they were.
Like, they are who we thought they were.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I honestly believe they were not as good as we thought they were. I think some of that stems from that. I'm not trying to take anything away from OKC and beating them. But what I'm saying is that we're giving them a lot of credit for beating this team because of the stretch that they put together. But, you know, I think that the fact that they've been playing together for so long and they got rest in between games and they were able to just kind of groove together and they had healthy players, I honestly believe that they were not as great as we were putting them out to be. It's just that we hadn't seen anyone beat them. And to see them get this mount four games like that really makes me think that it could be two things. It could be A, the Thunder are that good, are to that much better than the Spurs, which I don't think is the case, or B, they weren't as good as we thought they were.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's going to be interesting to see, man. We got the NBA Finals coming up on this coming Tuesday, 9 o'clock, Miami, and the Thunder. So there you have it. And before we move on, Azra J, can I do something real quick? Do you mind?
What's up?
I want to give a big shout out to the city of Seattle on this one. Big shout out to the city of Seattle. Congratulations. I know you guys feel wonderful about what's really happening right now. And if you didn't know, OKC used to be the Seattle Supersonics till they moved to Oklahoma City. So shout out to Seattle. And I mean, I remember back in the day, y'all thought y'all were going to take one with, you know, Peyton and Sean Kemp. And
that was because of Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan pretty much ended everybody's dreams. But
since we
like to shout out another, we pick on another city so much. I just wanted to pick on Seattle. Shout out to Seattle because I know a lot of people feeling sick right now. So
yeah. So I will say this: like, where are those Cavaliers at? Oh snap! Okay,
and there it is. And he couldn't. We thought we could go a whole show.
Not gonna happen.
It wasn't gonna happen. And this is the Urban Sports Report. We'll be right back. Damn.
Hey, what's up, people? If you didn't know, we on Facebook. Check us out. You can search us u.s.r. The Urban Sports Report with your boy Leo G and Azra J.
Well, now, don't you tell me to smile. You stick around and make it what you want. Numbers be on what you can do. 10. Instructions are to prepare for an attack by an unknown enemy.
Hey, what's going on? This is JB. I'm host of What's the Word on Blog Talk Radio. Check us out, blogtalkradio.com/CP Salad. Hit me up on Twitter at CP Salad. But when I'm not doing my show, I'm kicking it with Adjective J and Leo G on the Urban Sports Report.
Yo, welcome back to the Urban Sports Report. Of course, I am Adjective J, and as usual, I have alongside me...
This is Leo G.
And this is everyone's favorite part of the show. You know what part of the show this is?
I guess, is this, the part where you drink water?
Actually, yes, it is the part I drink water. Give me a second. That's delicious. But the most important thing is this is the part of the show where we do everyone's favorite segment, Quick Hits.
Quick Hits.
We still can't get that together. Why can't we do that?
I don't.
If I was smart, I would, like, just have me say it, have you say it, and just, like, do it, engineer it, because otherwise it's not going to happen. But this is Quick Hits. So I got some topics for you, Leo G. And, of course, now remember last time I did your Quick Hits, and now I got some revenge. So actually, it's not revenge. These are just lighthearted. It's fun. For those who have not heard the show before, this is how Quick Hits works. I have a series of topics. Right now I have 6 topics, I believe. And what we do is I throw out these topics and Leo G gives his perspective on it. So that's just how Quick Hits works. It's fun. All right, so the first topic is actually a headline that's pulled from ESPN.com. And it's an Associated Press article. But there was a settlement reached versus the Warriors. A former Golden State Warriors employee has reached a settlement in a sexual harassment lawsuit against the team and former Warriors guard Monte Ellis that alleged Ellis sent her unwanted text that included a photo of his genitalia. My question for you, VLG, is what is up with athletes texting photos of their genitals to women who are part of the team?
Man, I don't know. I don't know, man. They just can't. I don't know. Hey, that's very, very funny, man. Maybe they have a fetish of being like a porn star, or they want to be some Chippendale dancers. I don't know. But what's up with period, man. Not just athletes, man. We got politicians, everybody doing it, man. I don't know. I hope that's not the next big thing, man, because I swear, I ain't trying to see all that.
All right, so next. I don't know if you heard about this, but this is Grand Euro 2012. Have you heard about Euro 2012, Leo G? Have you heard about it? Here's what's happened in Euro 2012. In the other football, the other white meat of called football, there is going to be games throughout Europe. They have this incredible setup. It's going to end with the UEFA championship game in Poland, I believe, or in Ukraine. So to have these games staged throughout the rest of Europe is a really big deal. There's been some craziness happening. People are getting arrested at these games. The fans are being asked to show respect. Meanwhile, here in the States, not really a big deal. So here's my question to you, Leo G. You have to get everybody in America pumped up for Euro 2012. What's your sales pitch?
I don't know, because, the U.S., are we even anything? It's just, who is it? I would get fired. I would get fired completely from marketing this thing. I don't know, man. I don't know what you could do. Do they have cheerleaders in football over there?
No.
They got no cheerleaders or nothing?
But you can. There are pubs at the stadiums.
They got pubs at the stadium?
Yes, you can buy beer at the stadium in a pub.
Everybody just come and get you a pint and just get messed up and watch them kick a ball around. Come on, what more do you want? You can get drunk. That's what's up. That's what soccer hooligans do. They get drunk and go watch people kick a ball. I guess when you're drunk, it's more exciting. Am I right?
Actually, no. The sport of football is exciting anyway. I watch it. It's entertaining, man.
I don't even get wasted no more, man. But to watch soccer, I think, because it's like, I don't know.
You would have to watch soccer. All right. Yeah, no, fair. All right. So here's another one. It's a little bit more serious, but I just want to get you to weigh in on it. The Amateur Athletic Union is expected to announce new mandatory background checks Tuesday on adult coaches and volunteers to protect the well-being of hundreds of thousands of young athletes.
Oh, boy.
Now, here's the real question. How long has AAU ball been around?
and they just not starting to check these folk backgrounds. Oh boy.
Like, why are they just now doing it? It's for 50,000 plus adults who serve as coaches and volunteers. And this is due to the former AAU CEO and president, Robert Bobby Dodd, in December, having allegations of player molestation leveled against him.
Yeah, they need to really start doing some background. They should have been doing it a long time ago, but I'm like, wow, I didn't know. That's bad. That's really, really bad. Next topic.
Exactly. Let me ask my question. My question is like, because, you know, as a person who is going to be a father one day.
Yeah.
Here's a real question for you. Your son, let's say he expressed interest in getting down to AAU basketball. You letting him play?
Yeah, I'm going to let him play after I do my own background checks.
Exactly. You run your own background checks. Yeah. You just go ask people who know to do. All right, so this is a little bit of NFL. Ocho Cinco. We all know him, Chad Ochocinco, wide receiver, formerly of the New England Patriots. I'm still thinking about, like, actual football. But formerly of the New England Patriots, got dropped from the team, and now he's trying out for other teams. Now, he tried out for Miami, and he says he wants to play for that team because that's where his wife is from. Clearly, he wants to be near her. So here's the question. If you're an NFL team, do you take Ochocinco? And which NFL team do you think can benefit the most from him?
Man, look, this is what Ocho Cinco need to do, man. He need to call that team to let go of Terrell Owens and see if they want to pick him up, because obviously his days in the NFL are over. He need to sit his behind down somewhere. Go play Arena League, do something, or just maybe he could be a man punk like the rest of them on that, whatever that show is that his wife is on or whatever, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. But Ocho Cinco, man, you need to sit down for real. Either that, change his name back. Did he change his name back to Chad Johnson? I don't know.
No.
No, he need to change it to Lozano. Just Lozado.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. Change it. Put Lozado on the back of his jersey if he do end up with a team next year and be done with it, man. I mean, we're tired of it, man.
Speaking of Lozado, the strong-faced one. according to a report,
that can bust some bricks, don't you?
Her face, you cannot hurt her. According to according to the Huffington Post, Evan Lozado of the Basketball Wives fame, also I think engaged to Ochocinco.
Ochocinco, yeah.
She wrote a letter to her 7-year-old self. Now, it wasn't that she wrote it when she was 7 to herself. She wrote a letter to herself at 7.
Like at 40? She wrote a letter to herself now to a 7-year-old self? I don't know. I'm confused.
Like, I don't think she gets how this works. But maybe she has a flux capacitor. So here's the question. She did this, and, you know, she tells herself she would try to do better. She's 29 years old now, which surprises me because she has
what?
She says she's 29 years old.
Man.
She has the face.
We don't believe you. You need more people. But
yeah. She has the face of a 40-year-old. But more importantly, here's the question. If you are writing to your 7-year-old self and you can tell your 7-year-old self anything and you'll get it, what do you tell yourself at age 7
be
that
cool.
You know now?
Be cool, stay in school, and don't do drugs.
Okay. I like that. That's good. I think I would tell myself, look, you're going to go through this really awkward growth phase. It's going to suck. But at the end, it's not as bad. Just know that. And no matter what they tell you, stop eating fast food. You will get fat.
You'll be like, be cool, stay in school, and in bold letters, don't do drugs.
There you go. I'm with you. All right, man, that's quick hits. I think you did great, man.
I
enjoyed
it. It is what it is, man. Quick hits is always fun, and you came out with some bangers today, boy.
I do what I can.
Well, if you hadn't heard, if you didn't know, this is the Urban Sports Report. My name is Leo G. I'm my co-host.
I'm drinking water. You know I'm drinking water.
You want to change his name? Okay. With my co-host, Adjective J, a.k.a. He who drinks water, a.k.a. H2O squared. It's been another real show. If you want to contact the show, you can hit us up at theurbansportsreport@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Southern Set, and you can follow, because he's probably still drinking water, you can follow Adjective J at Adjective_J.
I really am still drinking water. Like, I'm sorry.
He's dehydrated. So he lives in the Sahara Desert.
I stay hydrated, son. I don't think you understand. Like, I was watching Jarhead when they had them drinking like all that water in the desert, and I was like, "That's normal. What are y'all complaining about?" I do that every day.
What's up? That's what's up. Like I said, if you want to be on the show, hit us up. Let us know. Because if we get people to actually be on the show, we might have to do this thing a little more often. So hit us up at the, like I said, theurbansportsport@gmail.com, man. But it's been real. And hopefully, like I said, we can bring it back to you here a little sooner. But we hope you enjoy the show. Also, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We're on iTunes now. Shout outs to the whole Geeks Gone Raw affiliation. Definitely big with them. They've been supporting us. A lot of people with Geeks Gone Raw been listening to the podcast. Definitely. Shout us out, man. So we appreciate the love from them.
Yeah, they definitely have been showing us love. Shout out to Scar. Shout out to everybody in the Geeks Gone Raw and the Enthused crew. You know, of course, now Leo G is not aware of this, but we have, I guess the Geeks Gone Raw crew has like teamed up with the Enthused crew. So now it's Geeks Gone Raw plus Game Enthused, which is awesome. Of course, we're still proud members of the Geeks Gone Raw. Still haven't got those chains. I've given up hope on mine. So I'm okay with not having one. I'm just going to fashion one myself. I'm just going to get like a legitimate chain and paint it gold. That's my plan.
Tell me how they work out for you.
I think it's going to work out well. It worked out great for Mr. T.
Hey, but we didn't see what his neck looked like when he took them chains off, did we?
Oh, yeah. His neck was
green.
Pure green.
You look like the Incredible Hulk. Anyway, man, it's been a real pleasure doing this show with y'all, man. And we're going to come back real soon. We out.
Peace.